And welcome back to EcoTalk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and looking forward to this next interview. And when George W. Bush's inauguration day happened, a man named Marty Essen and his wife, Deb, set out on an 8-trip, 3.5-year-long adventure to some of the wildest places on 7 continents on this great earth. The American couple began crisscrossing the globe with the simple intention of searching for rare and interesting wildlife. When their travels coincided with the beginning of the war in Iraq with the invasion, the added element made them unwitting ambassadors for peace. Their experiences, from amusing to life-threatening, led to Marty Essen's new book, called Cool Creatures, Hot Planet, Exploring the 7 Continents. And we're going to welcome into the program now and find out what motivated you to take on such an ambitious journey, Marty Essen.
Hi, Betsy. Well, you know, what motivated me is when I hit 39 years old, I run a business out here in Montana, and I realized I hadn't taken any time off for vacations for many, many years. And my wife and I just decided to go to Belize just to get away from it all. And Belize was a great place for us to go because I love to explore the rainforest, and my wife loves to scuba dive. We were able to do both there. And after that, we got back, and I decided I wanted to do something a little bit more extreme and go to the Amazon rainforest. And one of the local newspapers here in Montana found out I was going to be doing that and asked if I would write a story about that. And after we got back, the story was ran in the newspaper, and people started coming up to me saying how much they enjoyed that story and asked me if I was going to do another one. So I did when we went to Australia, and then kind of from there we figured, why not do all 7 continents and turn it into a book?
I understand. Well, you did serve as ambassadors for peace, and I'd like to hear about that. You had a pretty hair-raising journey, some dangerous encounters with lions and tigers and bears, oh my?
Oh my, yes. Well, you know, it's one of the things that we ended up doing is the book is kind of encapsulates what it's like to travel as an American during wartime. We ended up going down, for instance, to Antarctica on the day after the world's largest anti-war protest. And we're down there for 2 weeks with people from 14 different countries. And we're wondering, are we going to come back and find the world at war? And then when war breaks out, we land in Malaysian Borneo on the day after Saddam Hussein's statue came down. Mm. And so, you know, all these people are coming up to us and saying, you know, how's the war? What's going on with the war? And it was interesting because even though we were in a Muslim country, we found that people were very friendly to us. They could certainly separate the difference between the American public, which they seemed to like, and the American government, which they despised.
Glad to hear that. The separation, that is. So let's focus on the animals for a moment and then sort of the bigger picture. You debunk a lot of commonly held beliefs about animals in your book. Give us some examples.
Well, an example is when my wife and I went into this cave in Belize, we walked in and there were all these vampire bats all over the place. And people, when they hear about vampire bats, they always go, ooh. Well, vampire bats, when they bite an animal to get their blood, they don't suck their blood. What they do is they lap the blood up. And because of that, they have to have a very strong anticoagulant in their saliva. And so what scientists have been able to do is take that anticoagulant, which is the strongest anticoagulant known to man, and they've turned it into a drug called Draculin. So these vampire bats that humans might naturally want to wipe out are now a lifesaver for humans with this new drug called Draculin that's given to people who have had heart attacks or strokes. Another example is there's a venomous snake down in Brazil, a close relative of the fertile ants, and scientists have been able to take that the venom from that snake and turn it into a drug for people with diabetes, high blood pressure, and kidney disease. So there are a lot of these creatures out there that aren't necessarily warm and cuddly that people might want to wipe off the map. But when you do that, you know, we lose things for humans as well, in addition to losing these wonderful animals.
I'm sure there's concern about how we might wipe them off the map unintentionally or indirectly, and that would be through climate change, and I guess that's what the hot planet part of your title refers to.
Yeah, the hot planet, for instance, when my wife and I went up into northern Canada, we saw several glaciers, beautiful glaciers, but what was wrong with the picture is these glaciers all had lakes in front of them, and those shouldn't be there. Same thing when we went down to Antarctica. When people ask me, well, what was your first impression of Antarctica? And my first impression was how loud it was. And the reason it's so loud is because of these giant ice cliffs calving off into the ocean. Mm. Now, that's going to happen naturally, of course, but not at the rate we heard it. And so that's where the hot planet comes from, because you see the global warming, what's happening with global warming, much easier when you're up far north or far south.
You have some stunning photographs in your book as well, documenting your travels. How important is that to tell a word with pictures, tell a story with pictures instead of words?
I think, when people see certain animals, and I have a lot of animals in my book that, in fact, I have one that I think has never been photographed before. And so it's something that attracts people to look at these animals, and I think the more people can appreciate the wide variety of different animals out there that aren't necessarily your common animals, but animals that are endangered, people start to appreciate that, and I think the photos are important for that reason.
And your book is widely available because it looks like a good one.
Yeah, it's available. Barnes & Noble has it, Borders Books, Amazon.com, and, of course, on my website, which is coolcreatureshotplanet.com. And anybody who wants to get a book off my website, I do sign those copies, and there's free shipping.
Great. And I know that you make some fun of macho travelogues, but your book is different from that somehow?
Well, yeah, no, it's, you know, if I get scared, I let people know I'm scared. We had, for instance, a situation where we were trying to make it partway up the Matterhorn, and I don't get along well with heights at all, and we ended up having to turn around. Huh. And it actually becomes one of the funniest parts of the whole book. But at the time, I was going through this experience, being very scared of heights. It wasn't a very funny experience.
So we just have about a minute and a half left. Tell us what your hope is for this book. What message do you hope to convey?
You know, when somebody like Michael Moore or L. Franken write a book, I think they're preaching to the choir. And what I've tried to do is write a book that leaning Republicans can pick up, people who see this book for the adventure. And then they're going to read it, and they're going to see in real-life situations why it's important to protect places like Anwar. And why it's important to fight to make sure that global warming doesn't become as bad as it's going to. And so I think it's a little bit more sneaky as far as something that a more conservative audience can pick up and read and come away with a more enlightened point of view. And as well, liberals will love the book as well.
Sneaky is good. And thank you for this wonderful contribution to the ongoing enlightenment of Americans about what is going on with our planet. We've been speaking with Marty Essen. His new book is called Cool Creatures, Hot Planet. Highly recommend you take a look at it. That does it for this edition of EcoTalk. I want to thank my crack producer, Will Craven, for another week of great programs, and we'll see you next time.
Be careful what you wish for.